free to trust you and walk in open doors and not be held bondage in the area of past rejections where people close doors in our face. Teach us, Lord. Show us the way and we'll listen. You set us free, but show us not to go back into bondage and stay free. Speak, Lord, and we will listen. Speak, Lord, and we will follow your instructions. And all of God's wonderful people said,
amen.
Amen. If you would, open your Bible to Mark chapter 11 and verse 17. And we're going to continue our study in the area of the interceding Christian. Say interceding Christian.
Interceding,
interceding is kind of an interesting word, but it's a word that has high value and as we as believers. It means to represent someone. It means to fight for someone. It means to help someone. It means, it really is a legal term where it's like an advocate for the defense. And so when we talk about this interceding Christian, we need to understand that should be part of our life. I'll give you scriptures about that. And a key piece in interceding, you could be a physical intercessor. Moses was an intercessor. He not only helped pray, but he also went and delivered the children of Israel out of bondage. So oftentimes when we pray, God will speak to us and then we have to do something. Say, do something.
Do something.
Because God works through people. So he answers prayer by giving direction, giving clarity, giving, putting a call on a person's life or directing them to do something very specifically. That's how he solves problems and sets people free. But oftentimes we have to go to God first. Say, go to God first.
Go to God first.
And we have to somehow stand in the gap for those who don't know how to get out of trouble.
Yeah.
That's what the intercessor does.
Amen.
And so we're going to talk about the interceding Christians. Now, last time we were together, we talked specifically about what Paul wrote to us, to Timothy. And he said that, first of all, we should pray for kings and all men in authority. Well, we don't have a king in our country, in the United States. We have a president. And sometimes that's difficult for some people to pray if you don't like the president or you didn't vote for the president. They don't represent you and all that you're about. But really, if you want to have the kind of life and the promise that's put on that specific admonition, that we may live a quiet and peaceable life. Well, guess what? There's not a lot of quietness, a lot of peace in America right now. In the halls of Congress, it's not happening. And on the streets of various cities of America, it's not happening. And the result of it, because the church has somehow, and not put any blame on any particular individual church or denomination, but as a collective believers, in America in particular, we have not been consistently as praying intercessors. Prayer is kind of an afterthought when you're in trouble. You holler out at God, God, get me out of trouble kind of thing. But we should live a life as an intercessor, praying on behalf of others. And God says, start off first by praying for those in high office. And we talked about also last time how that's important because there are demons assigned to the high offices because they have high, strong influence over cities, over states, over nation. In fact, I mentioned last time how many people, I was in Washington, D.C. a few weeks ago and talking to Congress people and so forth, and they said many people come in there and they have good intentions, they plan to do well, and they go bad. It's not that there are bad people all along. Most people that apply and go run for office and win have good intentions, I would say. But it's the environment they get themselves into.
Yeah.
And so that was what we talked about. You can listen and watch it online if you like, but I want to just lay that foundation and go further. Now here in Mark chapter 11, verse 13, it says, this is Jesus talking, Mark chapter 11, verse 17. It says, then he taught, saying to them, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer? Say a house of prayer.
A house of prayer.
And guess whose house it is? My house, God's house. This is God's house. It's not Pastor Ed's church. It's not my building. It's God's house. Say God's house.
God's house.
And he says, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. Say all nations.
All nations.
All people groups. But you have made it a den of thieves. What we was addressing was people came to give honor to the Lord, to bless him, give sacrifices. and they had to buy the sacrifices. Typically, when they got there, many of them traveled long distances, so they bought various doves or animals and so forth to sacrifice, but they raised the prices up. They raised the prices up because all of a sudden, you know, there's a crowd coming up to make more money. It's kind of like the gas go up during summertime. You're going to be driving a lot. Mm-hmm. So they kind of took advantage of people. And Jesus noted that. He said, my house shall be called of all nations a house of what?
Prayer.
Well, if my house, for example, was a house of with a lot of drugs going on, it'd be a house of what? Drugs. Mm-hmm. It was a house where you serve food, it'd be a house where you eat food. You know, like a restaurant house, something like that. What I'm saying is that a house of prayer needs to be having prayer dominated in that house.
Amen. Amen.
Or else why bother calling it a house of prayer? It's a house that mixes all kinds of stuff. So he didn't say my house is supposed to be a concert hall or event center. But a house of what?
Prayer.
And see, it's not that God just want to make us, if you would. By the way, God does not make you do anything.
Amen.
That's not his style. Neither is mine. Trying to get us to do something just to pray. No, prayer has purpose. When you pray to God, God hears and responds.
Yes.
He responds personally, but also he works most specifically through people. You know, for 400 years, Israel was in slavery in Egypt. And when God called Moses, it's in the book of Exodus, it's powerful. He said, I heard the cry of my people. And he's talking to Moses. I heard the cry of my people. Somebody was interceding. Somebody was praying on behalf of, he didn't say person, people, say people. Praying on behalf of the whole nation of people. And I heard the cry of my people. Then God says, I will go and deliver them, but I'm sending you. Moses. And so God responded to the prayers, but what if nobody prayed? Mm. Probably for many hundreds of years, nobody was praying.
Wow.
Why it took so long. Sometimes we wonder, why are you taking so long? It took a while for the planet to realize, I need to seek God.
Yeah.
And get enough of them doing it.
Yeah.
Say, interceding Christians.
Interceding Christians.
In fact, it parallels in America, where African slaves were in slavery in this country for 400 years. Why did it take so long? Well, we had to learn about God and learn about intercession before, by the time it got to President Lincoln. Where folk, there was a groundswell of intercessors. Out there in the cotton field, Lord, do something. Lord, I come to you, do something, God. Now, I share this in the context. That is the way we need to be praying about one another, our family members, our friends, and yes, the leaders of our nation.
Amen.
And not praying what we want, because, you know, we have an idea, right? We have an idea what they should be doing. Okay, we're going to side over here. Yeah, we do have an idea how they should be doing, right?
Amen.
But we want the perfect will of God.
Amen.
That's what we want. And we don't always know. We think we know. In fact, I recall one time up in the altar, I was praying, and a guy came up, and he wanted to me to pray about getting a job, a specific job. And so I was about to pray, and the Lord stopped me and said, that's not what he needs. And I backed up, and I'm thinking, okay, Lord. He said he needs to improve his skill set. He thinks making more money is by getting the job, but you get the same kind of job he had last time, not paying you enough money. And so I pray. I said, well, Lord's telling me to tell you that you need to improve your training and your skill set.
Yeah.
And once you do that, you'll get a better job and make more money. Are you following me?
Yeah.
And so, but I share that only to illustrate, we have in mind what we think we need.
Yeah.
But God, say, but God.
But God
knows best what you really need that would really satisfy you, or else you get that job, you're still going lacking. Okay.
Amen. Amen.
That's good. So to intercede on behalf of others, according to the will of God, you can pray the word, or you can pray in other tongues. Now, for praying for our government leaders, I don't know all the Congress people by name. It may take hours to do that. So I pray for them by category. So I mentioned the president by name. I mentioned he and his wife and family. I mentioned the vice president by name, his wife and family and close advisors that influence the president and vice president. I pray for the members of Congress, the senators, the congresspeople, not by name but by category. I pray for the IRS, Secret Service, FBI, NSA, by category, that they be influenced by the Holy Spirit in such a way they'll make decisions that will allow the church to lead a quiet and peaceable life. Yeah. Why? I'm praying scripture. Yeah. That's what God said. Pray for them that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. And I pray for the governors of all states of America. And then I pray specifically by, and mention him by name, Governor Jerry Brown of California. I pray for district attorneys, district judges, local judges. Then I pray for ministry gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and pastors. I pray for our staff in our ministry. I pray for my wife. And then I get to my wife and family. Notice, first of all, say first of all. Leaders. And you may wonder, does it really matter? Well, God is a God of order.
That's right.
And if he says, first of all, pay attention, because if you want the favor of God, then you need to do things his way.
That's right.
And so there's a reason why, because if he's not put first, you may have good intentions, but you have a need right now. You pray about your need and forget about him. Mm-hmm. Praying about what he would have you to pray about first. Mm-hmm. So this is how you should do it. Take time and then pray for one another. Pray the scriptures. Sometimes in marital relationships, for example, close relationships, we have these challenges with one another. And sometimes you say, I wish my husband would do this, I wish my wife would do that, and that's fine. But you telling them may not, it's not working after 6 years, okay? So if you start praying for him, what should I pray? I'm glad you asked the question. Ephesians chapter 1, starting with verse 15 to verse 18. It starts off, Paul prays for the church, I cease not to pray for you, making mention of you by name. Yeah. Making mention of you in my prayers. Hmm. Now you start talking about your husband, your wife, your children, by name. Say by name.
By name.
Then he says, that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened.
Yeah.
That you may discover the hope of your calling.
Yeah.
And it goes on. Because oftentimes a person does not see clearly. The thinking is not quite right.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes you recognize you ain't thinking right. Okay. Well, but see, that's you telling them it's not helping out. Let God deal with them and then open up their eyes.
Amen. That's right.
Open up their eyes.
Open up their eyes.
And he's talking even to Christians. Mm-hmm. The Ephesian church. Yeah. I pray for you unceasingly, mentioning you in my prayers. That's an interceding Christian. The value of it is huge.
Amen.
You start seeing people come together and life come together, working out much, much better for you in your life.
That's right.
All because you've taken time to pray on behalf of someone else.
Amen.
Maybe it's a boss. Maybe it's a new boss. Maybe you got the job you should have had. Okay. Pray for them anyway.
Yes. Amen.
That they be successful.
Yes.
Are you following me?
Amen.
Because right now they have influence over you. All this is about how we should do life.
Amen.
Now, let me also go further. There's other benefits. We talked about this song we just sung about break every chain and so forth. Sometimes we find ourselves in face of major serious issues. I never want to make anybody feel bad, but we should not be experiencing life where there's major tragedy in our lives, especially on a recurring basis. Especially on a recurring basis. The Bible says, give the devil no place.
Amen.
Say no place.
No place.
Well, if he has a place, did God give it to him?
No.
No, he's asking us for us not to give the devil no place.
Amen.
So if he has a place in our lives, it's because we gave it to him.
Amen.
Now, you may not, most people don't do it on purpose. I'm going to give the devil a place in my life, mess up. Take my husband. He's at 40 years old. He dies. Killed in a car accident. No. But argument. Strife. Mm-hmm. And James says, well, there's confusion, envy, jealousy. There's every evil work.
Amen.
Well, there's strife. There's every evil work. So if I have that in my house, going on for 4 or 5 days, and I'm mad, and I walk out of the house on L.A. freeways, And I'm in strife with my wife. I don't know what happened to Pastor Ed. Bishop Ed, No, see, I gave place. God don't, it's not killing people. The Bible says, Jesus says, the thief, who's the devil, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So how do we address these issues? You need to intercede so they won't walk out with a bad, bad heart.
Amen.
They'll forgive. They'll love. They'll have their eyes open. Say open.
Open.
And becoming an interceding Christians help you, help God get involved in your life.
Amen.
To address those areas.
Right.
I recall we were at the other church location as a young church, and we had an office. And I was doing some marriage counseling for a couple who was very involved in our church, and they had major marriage problems. I mean, they came in a huff and a tough, okay? And I'm looking at, whoa, please have a seat. And so she sat over here, and pulled his chair over, he sat over here. And I'm thinking, okay. And I'm a young pastor, I'm just starting out, I'm looking at, how do I deal with this, okay? So I asked him a question. I said, how's your prayer life? And are you praying for one another? She said, I'm so mad, Pastor, I can't pray for that man. He said, yeah, me the same way. Well, that's the problem. They gave what?
Place.
And they're not getting God, not praying for one another, not interceding for one another. God can't even solve their problem. What happened? They got divorced. I want to minister to you. This is so huge. It's not just something I'm teaching out of the Bible. It's what I practice and preach and I do. And many of us here do it. Many of us are new. Some of us are relatively new, but not really tapped into it. Some of us have been here for a while. You can let it slip a little bit. I want to help you get on the good foot now.
Amen.
And start becoming an interceding Christian.
Amen.
We're not called to live a life where the devil just runs our life. Or we just hope next month is going to be better than last month. You know what? God has, he's a powerful God, but he gives us tools. And the key one is prayer, and in particular, interceding on praying for other people.
Yes.
And keeping the strife out of our life.
Yes.
Keeping the ill will out of our life.
Amen.
And then pray that God get involved.
Amen.
In fact, the Bible says that Satan blinds the minds of men that believe not. There's a reason why a person does not believe in Jesus. You know, we say, well, I decided to come to Jesus. No, your eyes are open. That's why you came to Jesus, okay?
Yeah.
And because somebody prayed for you.
Yeah.
You didn't come on your own. Your eyes were blinded before. I want to minister to you. Because somebody prays. Say, somebody prayed.
Somebody prayed.
Old song used to sing, somebody pray for me. Kept me on his mind. Somebody prayed for me. Oh, y'all stop. Yeah. Okay. Because somebody prayed for us. Somebody interceded for us. We'll think, I'm ready to receive God and come to Jesus, serve God after a while. You know what? That was somebody praying. Maybe somebody you didn't even know, but your neighbor who was filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. You know, Lord, I've been trying to encourage that man next door, but I'm going to pray for him by name. Mr. Rodriguez, I'm praying for him right now in the name of Jesus. And start praying in other tongues, allowing the Holy Spirit to pray on your behalf for his real needs.
Amen.
All of a sudden, he knocked on your door. Miss Smith, yes. Can I come to church with you next Sunday? Thank you. You sure can. Yeah, I'll pick you up. You can ride with me. Are you following me?
Yes.
That didn't just happen.
That's right.
We can avoid major tragedy in our life if we will, in fact, pray more consistently, in particular, interceding for others and even praying the word over your own life and family.
Amen.
Every day I pray the word over my family. I thank you, Father, for the hedge of angels encamped round about me to protect me from all hurt, harm, and danger. I mention my wife and family, my grandsons, by name.
Amen.
By name. Say by name.
By name.
Now, you may say, that's a lot of work. You know what? You ought to get involved in workouts. You got a special a weight loss plan. That's a lot of what?
Work.
A lot of what?
Work.
But you do it, though. Why? You want the results. You start seeing the value of the word of God.
Amen.
And start seeing the results. You don't, if it takes 20 minutes, 30 minutes, hour and a half, whatever it takes, you can break it up in bite-sized pieces.
Amen.
David says in Psalms, so we won't feel in bondage. In the morning, at noontime, and in the evening, you'll hear from me, God. So to get the time in, maybe it's 50 minutes apiece. Okay, in the morning, I can give 15 minutes to God. At noontime, I can give God another 15 minutes. And evening time, I can give God another 15 minutes. Are you following me? You can do this. You can do this. Say, I can do this.
I can do this.
And we got to write it down. That's fine, too, until you memorize it.
That's right.
We're talking about becoming an interceding Christian.
Yeah.
And if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit yet, no problem. Pray the Scriptures. Pray the Scriptures. Say, pray the Scriptures.
Pray the Scriptures.
God wants to take our church and churches like ours to a whole another level.
Amen.
As becoming a house of prayer.
Yes.
Now, the challenge is this. I cannot become, we cannot become a house of prayer unless we as individuals become a house of prayer.
Yeah. Amen.
I'll say it again. We collectively cannot become a house of prayer until we individually become a what?
House
of prayer. Meaning your house, your physical house, come to God on some regularity, pray, and in particular, pray on behalf of others. Because you always have new people that are new in the Lord, don't know how to pray. Or they're challenged. They're distracted by the issues of life. They need someone praying for them. Yeah. They need someone praying for them. Then you have people that maybe physically are challenged right now. Maybe they're in the hospital, in a coma, or just having problems. You can pray for them as well. Now, when you decide to connect to the people in this church, for example, like a life group, serve, or just get to know some people personally that know how to pray, you're in good shape. One of the biggest challenges, I pastored the church for over 28 years, my friend. Those that tend to get the help are connected to other people that know how to pray.
Amen.
People that have problems, like normally they're new, or they're ones that used to know people, they kind of back off. They just come late to church and sit in the back and don't talk to friends and then by themselves again. Guess what? When they have problems, nobody's praying for them. They don't even know. Oh, I haven't seen them. What happened to so-and-so? Oh, I don't know if they were having problems. They don't show up. They're always by themselves. My point is this. Connecting to people that pray is huge.
Amen.
I call it battle ready. Say battle ready.
Battle.
Say battle ready.
Battle.
And I see it all the time in our church. The texts go out, pray for so-and-so. Baby's in trouble. Boom, God responds. Powerful to see God move in a very powerful way. Can you imagine? Here you got a major problem in your life, and all you got is you. God will hear your prayer, but the kind of challenge you're dealing with need help. Say, need help.
Need help.
In fact, we talked about that. Oh, yeah. We talked about last time when Jesus is talking to Daniel. He said, but the reason why it took 21 days, I heard your prayer the very first day. But God had to send Michael, the angel, to help me. Say, help me. Yes. Sometimes the attack is bigger than what you can do by yourself.
Yes.
But if you don't have friends that know how to pray, not say, I'll pray for you and then forget already.
Exactly.
They go right into intercession. That's what's needed. In your business, in your careers. I recall working for a major corporation, worked for a president or chairman of the board. He was kind of ruthless. He'd fire folks just on the spot if he didn't like your presentation. So it was known that if you came down early, we knew you lost your job. Okay. And so we had a major presentation. We had some analysis to present, some new product and so forth. And my boss was a little nervous about it. And we're trying to figure it out. And oftentimes I would call my wife. She was a homemaker. And so I would call her. I said, babe, pray. Now I pray. I'm believing God. But guess what? I need some reinforcements.
Amen.
And she'll pray. Maybe get a few other friends pray. And then all of a sudden we go up there, have a powerful presentation, powerful meeting, walk out on time with my job. Are you following me? And get blessed.
Amen.
It's not because I'm so smart.
Right.
Not because I'm all this. I get their help. Say, get their help. See, if we only rely upon our abilities, our intellect, our education, our, and don't rely upon his ability, His help. Say His help.
His help.
And we have to ask. We have to, and then share that and do it on behalf of others.
Amen.
Want to minister to you. And the scripture I referenced earlier about Ephesians chapter 1, if you're not clear about your major in school, not sure what college to go to, you have a sense you should change job, you're not sure where to go, what company, you got a couple of offers, you're not sure which one to take. All these are options in life. You say you're a lady, you got a couple guys interested in you. Well, which one is it, Lord? I mean, he's handsome, he's tall, he's this and that. I mean, they're all acceptable. Which one? They all want to marry me. Wonderful. I wouldn't do any, meeny, miny, mo. I wouldn't do that. I'll pray this prayer. Lord, open up my eyes. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 through 18. That I may discover the hope of my calling, which involves the right man in my life. I don't want to say yes to the first person that proposes to me. I'm going to side over here. you want to get a witness in your heart. You want to have your eyes open.
Yes.
And when your eyes open, you see stuff he didn't show you in the first two dates. Oh, I saw that on Facebook. Okay. Or his mama says something, uh-huh. See, my eyes got what? Open. No charge for that little single one-on-one. But interceding is huge. And if you're not in the habit of doing it, what I'm saying to you could be a little daunting. What I would suggest to you is just kind of get started. Come out to one of our late night prayers on Friday night once a month. Just come into service and we pray and we have a structured prayer and plus we have time for intercession. Or come Monday night prayer. Or just get a scripture and start praying for family and loved ones by name. And just put their name in it. Like when you travel, you're praying for you and your family and travel. Well, we got to drive 2,000 miles cross country, you know, and I hear about these accidents and stuff. Oh, God. Well, you take Psalm 91. And it says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Put your name, the Jones family that dwells in the secret place on the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Put your name in there.
Yeah.
And all your kids. Are you following me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now you can relax and enjoy the ride.
Yeah.
Because you've already interceded on behalf of your family before you got on the road. My wife and I were moving to Minneapolis for my first job out of business school. And I got stuck in, I think it was Arizona. Utah, Arizona. It was hot too. Okay. A little small town. And we get over there, but we were praying all the way. We already feel the Holy Spirit praying in tongues throughout. And kids that kind of having fun in the back and so forth. So we got to this place and my car kind of putt-putted and kind of stalled right in the 7-Eleven. And I tried to start and it wouldn't start. I said, oh, God. But we've already been praying. And so there happened to be a auto mechanic shop just next door to the 7-Eleven. Praise God, I thought. Okay. Went over there smiling. And I said, well, you know, my car didn't stop. Just stopped him. Can you help me out a little bit? He started smiling real good. Came over there, saw a California place. Oh, he's really happy now. And then, you know, he said, well, it cost you about $100 to tow me next door. I said, you know what, man? Yeah, my wife thinks maybe more than that. It was a lot of money. And then he said, and then he came and looked at it. I think your problem is really, really this. And he just looked at it. You know what, man? But I'm just like, in the natural, I don't know what to do. I'm not a mechanic kind of person. Are you following me? But then what God did, I love it. I love it. A guy walked out of the 7-Eleven. I had a decal on my window, said, UCLA Graduate School of Business. He walks out, look around, look at the back of my window. You went to UCLA? I said, yeah, no good. He liked UCLA. He said, my hood was up. What's up? Well, you know, I don't know if this is kind of stopped. Let me see. He went in there. Dun, 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 dun. Try it. He said, that'll get you to the next town about 50 miles from now. And just ask him for this particular part, you'll be good. I don't know where he came from. May have been an angel. Come on. But we got to that 50 mile over to that dealership, and we had a BW Rabbit. So I got to the Rabbit dealership, the BW, and got the piece, and we went all the way to Minnesota. Now, that has been the story of my life.
Yes.
I'm not perfect, but we pray.
Yes.
We had a lady come in here, one Bible study right here. Lady came in, I thought she came in a wheelchair. And I thought, you know, that, you know, maybe she can't walk. Okay, I don't know. Come to find out after service, I found out that she had fell outside. I said, wow, okay. And so the ushers helped her and got her with a wheelchair, no problem. Then I get a letter in the mail about a week and a half later from her attorney. And I'm thinking, wow, we have insurance, so, you know, no problem. But he said, well, in a letter, but then, you know, she needed a little extra for her suffering and pain. And I said, I smell a rat. And so then, now talking about, this is, again, the story of our life. Because we pray, God protects, he blocks. So what happened is that the lady who wheeled her in was her friend. She called the office, I can't do it. I can't do it no more. I can't do it. What? Do what? She lying. And I'm not going to lie for her no more. She fell on her own. And she's been doing it at the various churches around the neighborhood. So we just kind of got back to the attorney and explained what happened to her friend. Fessed up. Guess what? We didn't hear from her anymore or her attorney. I share that when folk try to do you wrong because you live a life as an intercessor. God does what? Blocks it. That's why I pray. It's scripture. No weapon formed against me, my wife, my son, my daughter. Come on, talk to me. But are you praying the word? Or you just have it up here? Because we have to speak it. When God created, he spoke it. He knew what he wanted. He's God. But he said, let there be light. And the Bible kept saying, everything God said came to pass. You start praying the word. And then allow the Holy Spirit to pray through you about things you need to pray about, but you don't know to pray about it.
Amen.
You about to get laid off or fired the next 2 months. The man in the corner office knows, but he haven't told nobody. Your boss don't even know yet. Mm-hmm. He's losing his job too. But here God speaks to you because you folks think you're crazy, but you're speaking in tongues. Not all in a business office. You're doing it by yourself in your home. Allow the Holy Spirit pray a language that God understands, but the devil does not. And people do not. All of a sudden, you get a, told your friend at lunchtime, something tells me I need to leave and get another, look for another job. Well, this is a good job. I don't know, but I need to be going another job now. So you go ahead and do that. Follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit because God answered your prayer, leave now. You didn't know you needed to leave now. You happy. God says, leave now. Say, leave now.
Leave now.
And so you leave. And then about 6 months later, you start to get a call from your friends. They're crying the blues, the Christian ones in particular, that don't pray. Oh, I should have left when you left. Oh, now I don't know what to do. I'm going to be, You know the non-praying Christians? They don't want to take time to pray for nobody else. Don't allow the Holy Spirit think this tongue stuff is crazy of the devil. If it was of the devil, God would have said it's of the devil.
That's right.
But it's not.
Amen.
It's for purpose.
That's right.
For him to pray about things you need to pray about.
Yeah.
So here you are. Got another job. Make more money. Closer to your house. Closer to the kids' school. Because you allow the Holy Spirit to help you.
Yeah.
We're talking about interceding Christians.
Yeah.
I give you story after story about academically when I'm in college. A class that said, we can't have you in there. Won't work. God, work it out. I was praying as a college student, speaking in tongues, in the dormitory. I wanted to become a math major and applied mathematics. They didn't offer that at UCLA. But the Spirit of God began to speak to me what to do. So I created a degree for myself. They approved it because God spoke to me. I could be feeling limited. I got to do what they want me to do. It's not what I really want. The Holy Spirit. We're talking about the interceding Christian. It can help you too. I want to encourage you today, as a body of believers and individually, become more of a house of prayer. Become more consistent as interceding Christians. Just find a couple of scriptures. That's all you need to do. Don't go overboard. Just start where you are. Begin to pray for your spouse, your children, your boss, and mother-in-law. Yeah, mother-in-law too, and father-in-law. Especially the ones that, you know, can't get along too well with. Pray, Lord, that God, you open his eyes to understanding. That professor that gives you a hard time, start praying for him.
Yes.
He may be having difficulty acting mean because his wife is sick.
Yes.
And you find out his wife's sick, pray that she get healed. And then tell him, I'm praying for your wife, sir.
Yes.
You know what he'd probably tell you? Nobody ever suggested that.
Wow.
Now you got what? Favor.
Yes.
And guess what? She gets better.
Yes.
Now guess what? He likes you. And when you need time off to go to your family reunion and you can't get the test in time, he gives you an extra week to get it done. Why? You got what? Favor. Because you did what? Prayed. All things work together for good. To them that love God, who are called according to his purpose. And that context of scripture is about praying in other tongues. That's the context. All things working out for your good. Because God knows all things.
Yes.
Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed. And the interceding Christians begin to pray right now softly. Pray softly, but pray. You hear the day and you say, Pastor, I see God has a purpose for my life, and I'm ready to give my life to Jesus. If that's you, in a moment, I'm going to ask you, I'm going to pray for you. Give me an opportunity to pray for you. But if you say, yes, Pastor, I'm ready to give my life to Jesus, while the interceding Christians are praying softly. If you know how to pray in tongues, pray softly, pray in English. Pray that the eyes of their understanding enlightened. They'll walk in God's purpose, and that Satan's would stop binding the eyes of them. They'll see clearly what God has in store for them. You say, Pastor, I'm ready to give my life to Jesus Christ, or recommit my life, and in particular about stepping up to start becoming more of an interceding Christian. Praying for other people, not just only pray for all my personal needs. The Bible is very clear. You reap what you sow. You pray for others, guess what? God will touch other people to pray for you. And you start being connected. You say, Pastor, I'm ready to receive Christ or recommit my life to Christ or be filled with the Holy Spirit. You're ready to receive the Holy Spirit, yes, with the fullness of what God has in store for you. Overflowing. Where you pray in a heavenly language. It's a heavenly language the Bible refers to it as. Heavenly language. We need help. We don't have a problem learning technology and coding. Stuff that sounds strange at first. Until you learn the language. Learn how to do it. But yet when it comes to the tongue, sometimes there's a blockage. I don't understand it. You don't know how planes fly, but you fly everywhere you go. It's about faith, trusting God. He has a plan. So if God is saying to you, receive the Holy Spirit, you desire to receive him, today you can walk out of here full of God's power with the ability to raise your prayer life to another level. Or you may say, Pastor, I like this church. I like what God is doing. I want to let this church be my church home. You saw the video of ladies of God speaking to people. He's drawing people. If he's speaking to you, we want to welcome you as a new member of our church family, our community. You may be a part. Or you may say, I want to get connected to a life group, Pastor. A small group we call life groups here. We have one for some for men, some for women, young adults. You can get connected. The value is multifaceted, but in the context of our teaching today, you'll be able to become battle ready, have friends that can pray for you about your job, your career, your family, and you pray for them as well. And they'll show you how to pray if you don't know. Because we all need help at times. We no longer should live our life as an island, especially with people that don't know how to pray. And tap into the help of God. But in a life group, my friend, you can get friends, support one another, and become battle ready. And sooner or later, you would be in the midst of the battle, maybe for your life or the life of a loved one, and get people that will pray for you simply by you testing them, texting them, or asking them, they will do it. You say, Pastor, this is me. I want to respond to one or more of these invitations, either to receive Christ or recommit your life to Christ while the believers are praying softly, or be filled with the Holy Spirit, or join our church community, or be part of a life group. We'll connect you to one that fits your schedule. You say, Pastor, I want what God has for me. I say to you, come get what belongs to you. I want to pray for you. Come.